What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 26th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Did you join us for the Jacob Mizorowski and Paul Skeens matchup on Playback yesterday? It was so much fun. We had Eno Saris there. We had Paul Sport in the chat. We had Eric Samulski there. We had Justin Mason. We had 250 people joining us to watch this game live. And chat was the best. It was so much fun. And it's how Playback should work. So join us at playback.tv/pitcherlist. You don't want to miss these things. It's just watching games with good people. You know, as we talk about what's going on with it, it's just a really fun time. It's better than your typical broadcast. So come on by. If you have MLB.tv, you'll watch all the games for free. It's great. But yesterday, something else happened. Jacob Lopez gave us another good outing. It was seven frames, seven innings of zero runs, three hits, one walk, and six strikeouts, 12 whiffs. And the thing is, people are going to think it's a fluke. It's not a fluke, because what he's doing deserves success. It's the Yarbrough method of teasing right-handers with four-seamers that actually had a sub-50% zone rate, and then cutters that come back over the plate. He has good extension here as well, with 7 feet. And then he has changeups underneath and sliders underneath. And he's so good at spotting all four of those. And against lefties, he just throws sliders away and whatever. That's all you need to do, get lefties out these days. But that's really what's going on here. The changeup and the slider were incredibly effective at ending plate appearances. And he had more success. I think that this can continue on as long as Lopez has that 7.2 feet of extension and has that command of these four pitches. I don't really see why not. Even the cutter wasn't at its best yesterday, and it was fine. But he's shown that he can do this, and I think we, at the very least, Vargas rule it. We pick up Jacob Lopez, and we just roll with it and hope that he can continue doing it. Actually, the Vargas rule itself is really that. It's just guys who are in good command and have that rhythm, and they keep going until they get disrupted. The rhythm is lost, and then bam, we move on. Yusei Kikuchi, by the way, complete reverse from what I expected this year. I expected Yusei Kikuchi to be kind of good in the beginning as he had the skills from last year. But then when they faltered, I didn't expect the Angels to figure it out with him. The reverse happened because they didn't catch that his grips were wrong until like the middle of June. And then he's been pretty good so far since. Seven innings of zero runs, three hits, one walk, and 12 strikeouts against the Red Sox got the win. 20 whiffs for a gallows pole, too. And the curveball. The curveball has been a big difference maker across the last few starts. He had 30% usage in this one. And if you look at the overall season, 10% usage. He threw 39% CSW, 5 over 31 whiffs. Most of this was against right-handers as well. The slider did good things against the Boston lefties. Now keep in mind, hosting Boston and not being in Fenway is generally a good matchup. And I'm not totally convinced that Kikuchi is going to be able to hold this on to the rest of the year. Hold on to this for the rest of the year is what I'm trying to say. But you're starting against Atlanta, and you're just going to hope it lasts. That's really it. I don't think that Kikuchi is the greatest at pitch separation. I don't think he's an absurd command artist or anything like that, but he has good stuff, and it's working. Nick Pivetta, 7 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 10 strikeouts against the Nationals got the win. What's kind of interesting to me is that the Nationals generally throw only lefties against right-handers, but we actually saw some right-handed batters. Because right-handers actually kind of do well against Pivetta, as it's easier to discern the sweeper and the cutter more than the curveball with his arm angle. That said, 51% four-seamer CSW, which is insane, 44% chase rate. He actually did not locate those pitches at all against right-handers. I mean, four-seamers are pretty much down the pipe. The cutter and the sweeper were not well spotted. It still worked out. And maybe this is actually the year that Pivetta has a sub-4 ERA. Maybe. But I do think it's going to get worse for him over time. The ball being less draggy. Oh my gosh, I can't speak English. The ball having less drag this year is certainly helping Pivetta. This is one of the least, I guess, the most dampened ball we've seen in a while. And that means that Pivetta, who's always had home run issues, is not having them. He has home run issues because he throws high four-seamers that actually, despite all their verb, his arm angle makes it less surprising movement. And it means that that turns into home runs, right? Also, his attack angle is incredible for hitters. Bad for Pivetta throwing upstairs. It's one of the worst ones you'll find. So that means that I do think when the weather is It is hotter now and it didn't go out of the yard here, fine. But I think with this hot weather, it's going to get worse for Pivetta. That's all. He's still holding in everything, but yeah. Max Fried, ace is going to ace. He actually leaned into cutters, which have more drop than the four-seamer. We've talked about his four-seamer having a cut fastball movement when thrown arm side or either glove side. But no, this actually has more drop. So they've completely swapped it over. Now it's 30% usage here. Actually, 34% against right-handers exclusively, which is just really cool for a Max Fried. Not exclusive, but you understand what I mean. 34% when used against right-handers. It's great. 19 whiffs from Max Fried is not really what you expect. So 7 Ks in 7 innings. It was at Cincinnati, but still. Jacob deGrom was like, I'm the best pitcher on the planet, and I hate that people talking about other people. So, you know what? I'm not going to sit 97 anymore. I'm going to sit 98.4, and I'm going to go perfect through 6 innings, have 2 walks in the 7th, and then allow a hit on the first batter of the 8th. Fine. That's what he did against the Orioles. Texas and the Orioles, that's a history of Texas doing things against them. So, you know, props to Baltimore for surviving and not getting perfectoed here by DeGrom. I mean, it's kind of crazy that DeGrom doesn't have a no-hitter to his name. It just feels like every start he should do it. But there you go. Ace is going to ace. Also for Joe Ryan, you have fastballs that are kind of concentrated down the middle. And it's a little strange that he had so much success here. 8 Ks, 0 runs, 6 innings, 3 hits, and 0 walks. But it is cool that he has a new slider that has less movement, but now it's at 88. And I dig that. It's a 23% usage, and I think this is a good way to attack left-handers. I think that's a good thing. And then right-handers, he has the four-seamer, which is going to be very effective against them, than the sweeper. So this is cool to see with Joe Ryan. I wonder if that sticks around. Matthew Boyd had a good game. 6 innings of 0 runs. 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks in 6 frames of a win against the Cardinals. 0 for 29 whiffs on sliders and changeups combined. Oh, boy. At least he's at 94 and not 93. And I hope, like with Pivetta, that his high four-seamer that seems very home run hittable, it has been in the past, does not all of a sudden become that long ball friend. Great writing. Jacob Mizorowski. Oh my gosh, this game was great. I mean, he's dope and makes us feel dope. He's a top 25 starter. I'm tempted to even say top 20. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. Yes, Pirates, fine. But 72% four-seamer strikes. 68% overall. That was our biggest worry about Mizorowski. It would be like the Joe Boyle 54% strike rate experience. He's not doing that. In fact, his 2 walks, one of them was the first batter of the game where he slipped on the mound. He was slipping. He wasn't comfortable. Yeah, this was great. He showed up Paul Skenes, who allowed 4 runs in 4 innings. And it happens, Paul Skenes. You were trying to showcase to Jacob Mizorowski that you're the guy in town, but you throw a slower fastball. Must have felt weird. Sean Burke against the Arizona Diamondbacks got the win. 5 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Oh, boy. 95 plus on the 4-seamer with 18 inches of vert. That's pretty cool. He has 7 feet of extension. Okay, now we're talking. He also has a curveball for 48% CSW and 76% strikes. Maybe that's good enough. I need to see a little bit more against right-handers. And it was a hanger to Josh Naylor that had 2 runs in the first inning. But still, like, this is great. We're happy with this. And we hope that he continues with these skills. He gets the Dodgers next, which is actually kind of perfect because you don't want to pick him up after one game. You want to pick him up after maybe 2 or 3. So sure, show the skills against the Dodgers. I don't care what the line is. And maybe actually it's not a good enough line, that, but the skills are there. And then we can say, great, Jays are next. Let's just try one more and then you can pick him up after that one. Okay. Yoshinobu Yamamoto at Coors. Yeah, ace is going to ace. 5 innings of 0 runs. 1 hit, 1 walk, 6 Ks. He actually got the King Cole at 41% CSW. That's pretty cool. Colton Gordon against the Phillies got the win. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. He is another lefty 91 mile per hour rookie, right? He doesn't throw hard. And it's worse than Jacob Lopez, in my view, because you just have sweepers and 4-seamers with Colton Gordon. I don't think that's going to last nearly as well. It is 2-plane movement on the 4-seamer, but I just feel as if Colton Gordon is going through a nice little stretch and that's it. Jacob Lopez, at least, is more believable moving forward. He does go into Coors next time, and then it would be hosting Cleveland, which aren't the worst, so I'm okay holding on to that if you want to. But I don't think that Colton Gordon is super legit. Also, two first names. Come on. Drew Rasmussen against the Royals. 62 pitches. Ugh. But it was five innings. Zero runs. Two hits. Two walks and five Ks. If I said it was 90 pitches, you'd be happy, right? Still, I mean, that had complete game shutout written all over it. You only need 38 more pitches to get to 100. I don't know. It's annoying, and I imagine that the Rays are just going to keep doing this for Rasmussen, right? They're going to constantly just baby him, and they're just going to hedge their bets. But great, we got five innings. We got this. No worries. We're not going to push it today. You know, it's just really frustrating. So quality start leagues, like, you really can't do this. With Drew Rasmussen, win leagues, though, he got a win here, and it's still productive. Like, I still very much like Drew Rasmussen. So, I guess we just got to hold. All right. We have George Kirby, Mackenzie Gore, Zach Wheeler, Clay Holmes. We had Ace Day yesterday. It was great. Edward Cabrera, though, a little bit of a surprising game. And, oh my gosh, what did George Kirby do? Well, I'll tell you after this break. George Kirby had a game. Six innings, one earned run, three hits, one walk, and three Ks. But he was opposite Joe Ryan, so he got the loss. But he went Blake Snell blueprint against left-handers with his four-seamer up and his slider down. Thing is, it's just three strikeouts. So what happened? 0/33 whiffs on his slider. And he was actually a sub-50% strike pitch. He's so close, and I love the fact that he, you know, he isn't just throwing inside the zone, right? That slider, it was right at the bottom of it, but they just didn't swing at it. I don't know why. It was very strange. And then against right-handers, 46% sinkers and 5% four-seamers. And I go, no. That should be like 25-25. Because the sinker is more effective when you have the four-seamer to pair up top two. So I hope that he makes those adjustments. At least, like, these are changes. And not just here's sinkers and four-seamers upstairs and sliders over the plate. Like, that's not good enough. This certainly is better. And I hope that he holds this approach and just tweaks this one, does a little bit of polish on it, because I do think there should be more whiffs on that slider and that four-seamer for that fact against lefties. You have Mackenzie Gore against the Padres. Six innings of one and run, five hits, three walks, six Ks. We're happy with it. 19 whiffs, of course, 36% CSW. What is strange, though, it is as curveball isn't as precise as it has been to right-handers, but whatever. Everything is pretty good here. Zach Wheeler, ace is going to ace. Everything's cool. Three walks is weird, but he just jammed those sinkers inside to Astros batters, over a 40% chase rate on that sinker, because, of course, it's Zach Wheeler. And they, of course, obliged. You have Clay Holmes against Atlanta. It's another bad walk game. Five innings, one run, three hits, four walks, and two strikeouts against Atlanta. But he did get the win. And you're starting to be a little bit nervous, but honestly, I think everything is pretty good, save for the kick change. That's been eluding him, but it's really close to the slider and the sweeper. The sinker is in the zone a lot. It's fine. You should be okay with Clay Holmes. Logan Webb against the Marlins did not have his sweeper, so he went to 40% changeup usage, and it worked. Six innings of 200 runs. However, six hits and three walks and six Ks, so you have a 1.5 whip and a 3 ERA and six Ks from Logan Webb. It reminds me of, like, 2024 Logan Webb a bit, which is a little frustrating because you don't want him to be a whip killer. And he's been so good and be able to go deeper into games. But it's just one of those games. Don't worry about it. Also, the cutter was a little bit too high. It was a lower strike rate than we normally see. It's all right, Logan Webb. I love the fact that you were able to just go into your pocket and be like, fine, I'll just throw these changeups that the Marlins elected to foul off at a 32% rate, whatever. You made it work. Good stuff. Edward Cabrera against the Giants. 5.1 innings of only two runs, three hits, three walks, and six Ks. Have you streamed him? Congrats. I got the streaming win for this one, and 39% strikes on his sinker and 64% on his four-seamer. Wait, hold on. That's not it. Wait. He threw double the amount of sinkers to four-seamers and finally does that, and he just doesn't get strikes on the sinker all of a sudden. It's unbelievable. Look, the slider and the curve made up for it, and his changeup was good against the lefties. Great. But my gosh, you just don't know what you're going to get out of Edward Cabrera. He gets the Twins, he gets the Brewers, and Baltimore up next. I don't feel like I need to get this in a 12-teamer. That's really the case at the moment. Richard Fitz against the Angels. Four innings, two earned runs, four hits, one walk, and six Ks. And we hadn't, you know, just think about it this way. Richard Fitz, at the beginning of the year, got hurt. And he came up for these moments briefly, but it was really because he was needed when the Red Sox needed a starter, but he hadn't gone through rehab yet. It was a case where he shouldn't have showed up. So just think of like Richard Fitz in April, IL, and then you haven't seen him until now. And he's sitting 96, 97, not 95 on his four-seamer. High location. It catalyzed 10 over 37 whiffs in that four-seamer. Thing is, the rest of the stuff, eh. You know, the sweeper and the slider have 1 to 2 extra inches of sweep on them, which is cool, but I don't really like where he's spotting them. The curveball is kind of like a show-me pitch for curveballs. Don't like it. That said, it was 83 pitches. And Fitz is going to get the Reds carpet, even though it's Fenway, which I still think applies. So I'm in on Richard Fitz for that game. That's it. And we'll see where we are from there. Also, this was still ill. He's coming back. Nerves, a little bit more erratic. It could be much better next time. Jack Flaherty against the Athletics. I was suggesting after his last two starts that Jack Flaherty was tipping his pitches. And the thing is, this is a very poor quality start. 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. But 19 whiffs and a 37% CSW. A lot of big whiff games yesterday. And Flaherty went 11 for 21 whiffs on his curveball. He also threw a lot of fastballs down the middle that the Athletics just didn't take advantage of. And the way I see this is Flaherty clearly wasn't tipping now, right? They were selling out for fastballs and, you know, they mistimed it at times with the curveball versus the fastball. And then in 3-ball counts, Flaherty didn't throw what he needed to do, those walks, right? The slider wasn't very good, 45% strike rate. But the way I see it, Flaherty, all the tipping stuff is done. He's getting those whiffs now again. I'm very much in on Jack Flaherty. I think he's actually a really good buy low right now. He gets the Nats and the Cleveland Guardians next. That's Jack Flaherty. This is Michael Wacha. 6 innings, 300 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. So a very, very poor quality start for Wacha with a dusty donut here with the loss. He's going to Seattle next. I'm in for that one. He also went 7 for 18 whiffs on his slider, which we don't really see. We don't see those kinds of whiffs there. 19 whiffs overall. Normally it's just a changeup doing good things. And the precision on the slider was really, really good, especially to right-handers down and away. That's exciting. So hopefully his strikeout rate, which is like 19% right now, which is kind of shocking to me, gets a little bit better for next, across the second half, if that slider is a real thing. Chase DeLander, this is a weird one against the Dodgers. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to buy my bread with this? But remember, it was the Dodgers in Coors, and also was downpour rain while the two of the runs scored in the 6th, which would have been the 3rd out. I mean, yeah, just ignore this. Can we just ignore this completely? At least Chase DeLander actually threw some high 4-seamers that were effective, I guess. I don't know. I don't think that Chase DeLander is doing enough with his secondaries, and it's also slightly empty velocity. It's a decently flat attack angle, like 97, but it's not a good vert. It's not good extension. It's also cores. Okay. Gavin Williams. Oh my gosh. Gavin Williams. Think about my whole narrative, my whole thing and blueprint for Gavin. It's saying, look, you have this fastball. It's 96 to 97. You have 7 feet of extension. You get a lot of strikes with it. Okay. If you add a cutter, and you bring that thing from last year and you really lean into that instead of making a slider or whatever, then you have a second strike pitch that should be really effective. And then hopefully the curve and the sweeper that are like these 50% strike pitches are okay enough to get you through games. And then finally the cutter shows up. But what happens? Gavin Williams decides, all right, I'm going to throw 95 or 94 on my fastball with 6.3 feet of extension. I'm like, what? Low strike rates on the fastball all of a sudden, right? But he finally did it. 96, 97 on his fastball with 7 feet of extension. We finally got there, but he didn't throw strikes with it. And it was a 59% strike rate. He did not get the 4-seamer upstairs. Do I have to be more specific, Monkey Paw? Like, 42% strike rate on his sweeper as well. But the 92 mile per hour cutter is around. It wasn't located well. And I'm just right now like, it's so close. It's just so close. Can you locate now? He did better last year with it. I don't know. So he gets, it doesn't matter. He gets the Cubs next. I don't want to start that. I just want to see if it's the same velocity and extension and the cutter is going 30% usage, right? That's what I'm looking forward to. I think that could be a really good second half. The moment, the second that Gavin Williams clicks. It's there. And it's not like with Luis Ortiz or Taj Bradley or these other Pease guys who are just, it doesn't make sense. You don't know how the path is going to happen. I see it with Gavin. But maybe the command just isn't good enough, and that's just what it is. You have Max Scherzer coming back and is still ill. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We saw 93. That's really good. We also saw 1 for 16 whiffs on his best pitch, and that's his slider or your cutter. Whatever you want to call that thing, it's pretty much the same thing. He just slightly changes it here and there. 1 for 16 whiffs can't be it. That's supposed to be a 25% swing strike rate pitch. So without that, yeah, we can't really jump in on Max Scherzer against the Yankees next. We're not doing that. We just want to hope that the sliders return and the velocity sticks at 93 plus. Brady Singer against the Yankees, speaking of which, had 7 over 24 whiffs on his slider. That's a 28% swing strike rate. Finally, we have not seen high whiffs at all on his slider. And we'd even say that I want to see the double digit that I used to see, but I'll take this. He did move away from sliders and sinkers to throw a larger array of four seamers and cutters, which are kind of helping. In 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts for Singer against the Yankees in Cincinnati isn't the worst thing ever. So I'm a little bit more inclined to go after this. He goes into Fenway, though, and I just feel like that's just not good. You don't want to do that. As I mentioned with Paul Skenes, yeah, he just had a bad game. Like, it was just a bad inning. He's fine. 1 over 32 four-seamer whiffs is kind of what he does, though. You know, he's like a strikeout an inning, slightly above that. And that might be his world. He might be just a 25% strikeout guy. Yeah, that's Paul Skenes. He doesn't have a fastball that moves in a way to miss above bats. He moves them to go underneath them. It's weird. Brandon Young against the Rangers. 4 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He's only here because Tomoyuki Sugano is getting some extra rest. He does have 93-94 with 18 inches of vert, but it's kind of a steep arm angle. It's like 0.8 height adjusted VAA. He doesn't have like the exceptional extension, and he doesn't have anything else underneath it, so I'm not really interested there, but it is really good command of that four-seamer upstairs, so if he does develop some other stuff underneath, maybe there might be something there in the future, but I don't think he's going to start again in the next turn. You have Zach Gallen against the White Sox, and honestly, it's just a point of like 5 earned runs and 5.1 innings. Maybe he'll get traded somewhere, maybe he'll have a much better second half, you can very well see that, but you're just putting yourself in harm's way. It just weighs you down, and you can't really do that. Same with Eric Fede against the Cubs. Like, that's not the game you want to do. 3.2 innings of 7 runs. Absolutely not. And then you have Didier Fuentes. 3.1 innings of 6 earned runs. 8 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? We saw less vert down to 15 inches instead of 16 plus. And we also saw 95-96. But we also saw 1.8 height adjusted VAA. And he just needs to get it upstairs. And he didn't do that. The sweeper and the curve are also something that can be improved upon. And honestly, look, I know this looks terrible, but it's possible that DDA does well against the Angels. I am not picking him up in my 12 teamers. All I'm saying is that if you're in a dire situation, yeah, we've seen Fuentes locate the four seamer far better. And I think that that could work if he does locate heaters upstairs and he has something else underneath. I'm just throwing that out there. Don't give up on DDA Fuentes after his second start. That's all. All right, that is it for today. Enjoy Shota Imanaga coming back from the IL to make a... Yeah, it's been a long time. We miss you, Imanaga. And it'll be nice to call you IMAGA once again. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABs be low and your strikeouts high.